Turn on a Smith's Jones church, all two of you. I just got it. My title is Relationship. And you can turn with me to Psalms chapter 139. I'm going to read, start at verse 1, read the chapter. I'm going to read this from the New Living Translation. It's important to know that, you know, with God, you know, a relationship is a two-way street, you know, it's fellowship. A lot of times, this is what God has been showing me, you know, which, you know, a lot of times we hear it all the times is, you know, we always come to God because we have needs, which is important. You should go to God when you have needs. But that shouldn't be the only thing you always go to God for, you know. There should always be times when you should go to God and just to be with him, just to spend time with him, you know. He already knows your needs, so. And this is, you know, this psalm was written by David, and he, you know, David really understood and knew that. So this is a really good chapter for that. So Psalm 139, starting at verse 1, says, O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts, even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. That's pretty, you know, I mean, we know that, but sometimes we don't think about that, that everything you do, God knows. You know, what you did last night, he knows. What you did this morning, he knows. There's nothing you can hide from God. You know what I am going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. You know, this, like David here is saying, he goes before him and follows him, kind of meaning that he's all around, you know. If Esther's following me, well, she can't be in front of me at the same time. But the difference is with God, he's before you and behind you. He surrounds you. He knows everything about you. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence, which is a good thing. You would never want to wake up in the presence of God not be there. I was listening to these two guys talk. It was like an interview, and one of them was saying that, you know, it's not just the fact that God exists, but it's the fact that God's presence is with you. Because, you know, imagine if God created us and then just left us alone, taught by ourselves, you know, and went off, you know. We may be like, yeah, God exists, but his presence ain't here. So it's not just the fact that God exists and created us, but it's the fact that his presence is with us. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even though your hand will guide me and your strength will support me, I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night. But even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to you. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. This is amazing because, you know, the human body, you know, the people who believe in evolution that think we came, you know, we evolved from monkeys, the human body is so complex. Only a creator could create us, you know. And, you know, this is part of the relationship. It's like, here it is. David's basically saying, I can't get away from you, God. You're always there. And so, you know, it's important, you know, you hear about testimonies where people are like trying to run away from God. You know, I'm trying to get away from him. And it's like, no matter where they go, he's always there. He's always there drawing them, you know. And that's so important because it's so easy to have a relationship with God because he's always there. You know, it says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So it's just, all it is us going to him. He's always there. He's right there. He's always ready for us to just turn to him. Okay, so verse 15. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. That's amazing, because you really got to understand, you know, know that God never wants evil to happen to you. He never wants bad things to happen to you. He always wants good things to happen to you. So, you know, people think, well, God must be letting this bad stuff happen because, you know, he's trying to, you know, we mess up and we make mistakes, just like Nate's testimony about her son this morning, you know, where he messed up and he made a mistake. So there was consequences to it, yet there's God's grace and mercy though. And it just shows you that even when we mess up and do bad things, his grace and mercy is so innumerable. You know, that's how much he cares for us. That's how much he loves us, you know. So verse 18, I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me. Oh God, if only you would destroy the wicked. Get out of my life, you murderers. They blaspheme you. Your enemies misuse your name. Oh Lord, shouldn't I hate those who hate you? Shouldn't I despise those who oppose you? Yes, I hate them with total hatred, for your enemies are my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. It's amazing because, you know, that's why, you know, God said David is a man after my own heart, because David was constantly, you know, even with all the mistakes David made that we know about, he was constantly, God, search my heart. You know, if there's anything in me that that's not pleasing to you, show it to me so I can get it out of my life, you know. And that's the way we got to be, you know. We got to come to God with that, you know, like, God, if there's anything in me, just help me to get it out, you know. And you can only do it through his help, you know. You cannot do it on your own. You can't try to fix yourself up and, you know, be perfect before God. You come as you are to him. And so that's why this, you know, this relationship is so important to have with God, because, you know, and like I said, you know, this is what God's been showing me, dealing with me in my own life, because I do this a lot. You know, I go to God always because I need something, you know. And it's like if Mandy, you know, if she only came to me only because she needed stuff every time, you know, well, if she never came to me just because she wanted to spend time with me, you know, that almost becomes one-sided, like, you know. And that's the way, you know, God can look at us. You know, if you're only coming to God because you need something, I need you, God, I need healing, I need money, I need finances, I need a job and stuff, and which is always true. You do need to go to God when you need stuff. But you shouldn't only go to God because you need stuff. You should go to God just because you need to spend time with him. And if you need help, you know, just sit there and just start thanking him, you know. Thank him for Jesus dying on the cross for your sins. Thank him for the breath that you have. Thank him for food, for clothes, for family, for friends. You know, there's so many things you can be thankful for. And it's amazing, because if you ever truly have just sat there and spent time with God and you can truly feel his presence, there's nothing like it in the world. Nothing can compare to it. It's just amazing when his presence, when you truly feel that presence of him, it's just so wonderful. So that is what I encourage you today, is just, you know, make it a point to spend time with God, just to spend time with him. He knows your needs and your wants and your desires. And when you spend time with him, those things get fulfilled, you know. So that is it.
Amen. That was good. How's everybody doing today? So we went to Lamp Keepers yesterday, early in the morning. It was, I think we left at 5:40. Miss Lane left earlier than I did because she came to my house. and it's wonderful. Just amazing to me how, like, we're all women from wives of men that don't really know each other, and God's put this group together, and we've been around each other, and it's like we've known each other our whole lives because we all love Jesus, because he's number one in our lives, and so it's easy for us to talk to each other. And the testimony, one of the ladies gave a testimony yesterday, and it was so neat that God can change anyone. He can change anyone, and he desperately, desperately wants you in his life. He wants you in him. You know, like we talk about, we want Jesus, but Jesus longs for us. He longs for us. He truly loves us. Amen. Okay, so today I want to talk about gentleness, and you can go ahead and turn to Isaiah chapter 40. And I'm going to read this out of the ESV. And while you're turning there, I'm going to give you the definition of gentleness out of my commentary Bible. It says, gentleness involves true and active consideration for others. It includes not wanting to hurt anyone or cause anyone pain. It is softness of manners, mildness of temper, sweetness of disposition, meekness, tenderness, mild treatment. It is also graciousness and full of mercy. That is the gentleness that comes from the Lord. Amen? Amen. So God has tender-hearted loving kindness toward us, but for us, sometimes it is hard to be gentle with people. You know, the opposite of gentleness means harshness and sternness. And sometimes in our effort to make people understand what we want, we can be too harsh and too stern and too severe with our words, right? You ever heard the expression, it's not what you say, it's how you say it? You know, that is probably the hardest thing of any of us is like, sometimes we want people to understand what we're going through, and it's not what we have said, but it's how we're saying it to them. And they're not understanding what we're saying because they're hearing the harshness and not the love, right? It's an effort to be gentle when you've never been shown gentleness, right? Just like, you know, love, it encompasses all of the fruit of the Spirit. It is the very first one, and it is because without love, you can't have the rest of the fruit. Without love, the rest of it doesn't matter. It's not really good fruit, right? Because without love, it's impossible to be gentle, right? It's an effort to be gentle when you've never been shown gentleness. You know, when you grow up, sometimes you learn gentleness from your parents, especially from your mom. You know, most moms have a special way of being gentle. But what if your mom wasn't that way? What if your grandmother was the gentle one, or your aunt, or maybe even a teacher? And so you didn't really see gentleness from what everyone else saw it from, but you saw it in some way, shape, or form of your life. You know, even fathers, you know, I think sometimes we think of the word gentleness and we forget how gentle fathers can actually be, especially to little girls. I can say this because of Michael and how gentle he is with Mandy and how he always has been that way since she was little. And, you know, when a man holds a newborn, it's almost like they're like, I'm going to break this little thing, you know. They hold this little newborn and they're almost afraid sometimes because they're so big and it's so little. So that gentleness just comes supernaturally. It's amazing how that happens. So I just want to encourage you, sometimes if you haven't learned any of the fruit of the Spirit, you have to understand that it is through the Spirit that it will come. That maybe you don't feel like you love people enough, or maybe you're not gentle enough, or maybe you don't have enough patience, or maybe you have a hard time carrying any kind of peace wherever you go, but Jesus is in you. And so you just have to draw that from your spirit. All of the fruit of the Spirit is inside of you. If you think that you're lacking joy, it's in you. Pull it out. Amen. Jesus gave it to you. It is in you, right? Okay, so Isaiah chapter 40, I'm going to start at verse 7. And what this is God is talking to his people. And Isaiah he's talking back and forth with the Lord. And verse 7 says, "The grass withers, the flower fades, because the Spirit of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion, bearer of good news, get yourself up onto a high mountain. O Jerusalem, bearer of good news, lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up, do not be afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. See, the Lord God will come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. See, his reward is with him and his recompense before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young." And I just want to pause right here. It's amazing because verse 10 says, "The Lord will come with a strong hand and his arm shall rule for him." But then at the same time, verse 11 says, "He shall gather the lambs with his arm." So even in his almighty strength, he is so gentle. Isn't that awesome? Verse 12, "Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and meted out heaven with the span and calculated the dust of the earth by the measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or as his counselor has taught him? With whom did he take counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of justice, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding?" And I'm going to stop right there, but you can read the rest of the chapter later on. And I want to point this out. This is how big and how mighty our God is. Like, he literally looks at the mountains and the hills and the universe, and it is there for him. Like, it's just a part of what he has created. And so when you think, "I'm just this one person compared to this whole universe, how am I important to him?" Even in that, he cares about just you, because he is almighty, but he is all gentle. Amen. Verse 31, you can skip on down. It says, "But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." And then I want you to skip over to Isaiah 41, verse 10. Actually, I'm going to start verse 9. "You whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called from its remotest parts and said to you, 'You are my servant. I have chosen you and have not rejected you.' Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. Yes, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Amen. Isn't that good? I read that part earlier and I thought, you know, God's gentleness is also our strength. You know, like, he holds us gently in his hand and at the same time strengthens us for whatever battle we're facing. Isn't that awesome? Okay, I want you to turn to Colossians chapter 3. And I read this a little while ago, so I'm going to read it out of the ESV this time. Colossians chapter 3, I'm going to start at verse 12. It says, "So embrace as the elect of God, holy and beloved, a spirit of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering." And I just want to take note real quick. It says, embrace as the elect of God. So it means take it all in. Don't just give a little love pat. Completely embrace the Spirit of God in you. Amen. Don't just take a little bit. Take it all. Verse 13, "Bear with one another and forgive one another. If anyone has a quarrel against anyone, even as Christ forgave you, so must you do. And above all these things, embrace love, which is the bond of perfection." Amen. And then I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 5. Thank you, Lord. Matthew chapter 5. I'm going to start at verse 7. And before I read this, I want you to keep in mind that gentleness is full of mercy, okay? Matthew 5, verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Amen. That gentleness inside of you, when you give out and you're gentle to people and you love people, it is showing mercy to people. It is showing that peace and that love that's inside of you toward the ones that sometimes you may not want to show that to. And in the end, that affects them. That affects their hearts, whether you see it or not. Sometimes you're kind to someone and you're gentle with someone and you're encouraging them and showing them mercy. And right away, they're so shocked by that, they don't know what to do. Sometimes they don't respond in a good manner because they don't know how to. But the more that you are gentle with a person, the more that you are kind with a person, the more that it affects their heart. Whether they want it to affect them or not. You know, like I give this example all the time, just being at the diner where you have to love those who were like the worst customer ever, you know, and we learned that the nicer you are to them, it really does melt their hearts. And sometimes you have to be gentle even when they are harsh, right? And over time, it really does affect them because that gentleness was inside of us. And so it affected everything that we did, right? But sometimes when we're harsh, we also reap the harshness back to us, right? I can say that I do that all the time. Sometimes I have to really watch myself. I'm a very serious person, you know, like I like to have fun and I like to enjoy myself, but sometimes I can be very stern and very harsh. And I don't know if I just developed that from being at the diner and you have to tell people what to do all the time. So it's like, you know, we're doing this right now. I don't care how you're feeling. You are going to be here at 7 o'clock or 5 o'clock in the morning and you're going to get this done, you know? So my sternness sometimes would overtake my spirit. So instead of loving people, I would be so harsh with them that they wouldn't know what the love of God was, you know? And so there's that line of, yes, sometimes you have to deal with people and sometimes you have to deal with a situation, but at the same time, how does God want you to respond to that, right? And a lot of times we need each other. You know, like when I'm too harsh, even now, Michael helps me through that. He's my help. My helper. So, and it's the same way we should be with each other. When we're too harsh about something, sometimes we need to remind each other, hey, that's not the fruit of the Spirit that's supposed to be in you, you know, but knowing that God is our discipline, you know, he disciplines us, and not letting that line cross from being needing that discipline to only being harsh. You know, if you are only harsh, even if you discipline someone, they're not going to receive it because it's not done through love. So just remember that. Amen. Okay, so turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Thank you, Lord. And this is in the ESV. And I'm going to start at verse 7. It says, therefore, brothers, during all our afflictions and distress, we have been encouraged about you through your faith. For now we live... Oh, I'm sorry. I think I'm in the wrong chapter. Let me turn the page. I thought that didn't sound right. Chapter 2, verse 7. But we were gentle among you, like a nurse caring for her own children. So having great love toward you, we were willing to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you were dear to us. For you remember, brothers, our labor and toil, laboring night and day so as not to be an expense to any of you. We preach to you the gospel of God. And I want to point this out because this is how, verse 7, it says, we were gentle among you like a nurse caring for her own children. In my commentary, it says that just as a mother's gentle and caring attitude, that's how we are to be toward not only each other here, but people in the world. Like that is how we really are to be. You know, if Jesus came to earth, and he was never gentle, and he was never compassionate, and he never showed grace and mercy, do you think that people would have turned to him and would have been drawn to him? If the only thing that he ever did was turn tables, because there was a time for that, but if that was the only thing that he ever did, do you think that people would have followed him? You know, there's a lot of denominations where they stress hellfire and damnation. And yes, if you do not believe in God, you will go to hell. There is says in the Bible, the wages of sin is death. So that is the truth. But if that is all that you preach and you never tell people that Jesus came into the world, not to condemn the world, but to reach us. He came because Jesus sent him God sent Jesus because he loved us. That was his reason. So if you get stuck on, and that's a lot of times what ministers can do, and I've heard that through my whole life. If you get stuck on one message and you don't read the whole Bible, you don't take time to get to know the whole God, and you only take time to get to know a part of God, like you're scared to death that you're going to mess up, that you're going to make a mistake because God is going to judge you. If you're so scared, then you'll never know that he truly loves you and he wants to reach you, pull you out of that mistake and pull you out of that lifestyle. But if you don't know who he is, if you don't know our whole Heavenly Father, just like Michael was saying, if you don't have a relationship with him, then you're going to go to him just for your needs, and you're never going to go to him for a relationship. And that's where we have to understand is like gentleness. We're not gentle just because we only want to be gentle. Like if you were a gentle person and you were never firm with your children, sometimes you have to be stern and you have to be firm with them, right? But if you were only gentle 100% of the time, your children would walk all over you, right? And that's the same way with our Heavenly Father. He knows when we need gentleness, and he knows when we need discipline. He is always understanding of our hearts, and that's how he wants us to be with each other. We need to know when each one of us needs that gentle word, and when each one of us needs that word of discipline, right? Not because of we feel like this person has to have that word of harshness. Like we feel like it's owed to them. You know, they need to know how much of a mess up they are. You know, sometimes we as Christians, we feel like we need to tell people what they need to change all the time. And God's like, no, you're just seeing the surface stuff. I'm seeing the heart, and that has nothing to do with why they really need changed. Amen. So it's important to listen to him and listen to the Holy Spirit. Okay, so I want you to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I'm going to start at verse 22. It says, so flee youthful desires and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid foolish and unlearned debates, knowing that they create strife. The servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but must be gentle toward all people, able to teach, patient, in gentleness, instructing those in opposition. Perhaps God will grant them repentance to know the truth, and they may escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will. And I want to read just a part of this commentary out of here. It says, we cannot flirt with temptation, moral compromise, or selfishness and expect to escape the consequences. Many believers are repeatedly frustrated because they keep giving in to the same temptations. They wonder why they do not seem to have the spiritual strength to resist and overcome compromising situations. The problem comes from putting oneself in tempting or morally compromising situations in the first place. Such foolish choices set a person up for spiritual failure. God's word tells us to flee youthful desires. If we make unwise choices to be in the wrong places at the wrong times, we have already made a critical mistake. By doing so, we are setting ourselves up for failure. We must make wise and godly choices from the start and avoid certain situations altogether. The key, however, is not simply to focus on what we must avoid. Instead, we must consider what we should actually do. This means that we do not just flee from bad things, but we run toward and pursue God's good things. We will not have to worry as much about staying out of trouble spiritually if we go after the things that are right and get actively involved in God's purpose for our lives. By concerning ourselves with all the positive things God has for us to do, we will not be preoccupied with the negative things God tells us to avoid. Amen. Okay, I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 15. Most of you probably already know this verse. And I am reading it out of the ESV, but you probably have the King James memorized. So Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1, it says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. And we've all experienced this, you know, when usually when you're fighting with somebody, it is you respond in anger because somebody has said something to you in anger, right? You are, it's like your automatic defense. You know, it is harder to have a soft answer. It is harder to be gentle when someone is angry at you than it is to be angry back, right? And we cannot do that on our own. It says grievous words stir up anger. And that when you have an argument, you're arguing with someone, and that stirs up that anger inside of you, and it's hard to get rid of that anger. You know, it says, don't let the anger go down, don't let the sun go down on your anger. That's because sometimes we are angry. When we have a fight, we're angry all day at someone, right? When you have a fight with anyone, whether it's your children or your spouse or a brother or sister, sometimes it's like you're so angry, you just let that boil inside. And you let it boil, and you let it boil, and it's like, I will never love that person again. I don't know how I'm ever going to talk to that person again, or I can never forgive that person. And so we let that boil inside, because we've let that anger be stirred up. But if the very first response is a soft answer turns away wrath, then what you're doing by having a gentle response is you're actually preventing that anger from rising up inside of you. And you're building up that love. You're fighting off the wrath of a person with the love of God that's inside of you. It is not easy, right? I am not going to tell you that every one of us has that perfected, because we don't. That's why we need the Spirit of God inside of us. That's why we need Him to show us, hey, don't respond like that. Hey, that wasn't a good response. You need to change how you talk to that person. Or, I know that you're mad right now. Like I, you know, you can feel that when the Holy Spirit is like, I know you feel this way, but don't let it keep going. You know, like you know, when anger rises up inside of you, you feel that on the inside of you. Sometimes you have to just stop and get away from whatever it is that's causing that stir up of anger and turn your heart to the Lord and let him speak through you with a soft answer, because it's not something that you can do on your own. If you're depending on yourself and you're like, oh, I just want this person to know how right I am and I want my way, or I want my point to get in there and I want them to understand what I'm going through. They need to hear how they're affecting me or how they're making me angry. Sometimes they don't need to. Sometimes you're not ready to tell them that. Amen? Okay, and then I want you to turn to James chapter 3. And I'm going to close out with this. I'm going to read this out of the New Living Translation. This is a hard chapter for a lot of people to hear, because this is what gets us in trouble all the time. This is what gets me in trouble. Okay, so James chapter 3, I'm going to start at verse 1. Dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church, for we who teach will be judged more strictly. Indeed, we all make many mistakes. Amen. Let's just stop right there. No, just kidding. For if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches, but a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh water and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives or a grapevine produce figs? No, and you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. If you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing works with the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying. I'm going to read that again. But if you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. So this is what we need. Amen. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. So gentleness is being wise. It is walking in wisdom. Amen. It is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. Isn't that awesome? Do you want to plant seeds of peace today, or do you want to plant seeds of wrath? Think about it. And I want to read that verse again, because for some reason this just keeps standing out. because I want you to open up your heart. I want you to think about what it is that God is speaking to you today. Is there anything in your heart that you need to get rid of that shouldn't be there? Because it says in verse 14, if you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying. Don't cover up what is going on the real inside of your heart, the deep recesses of your heart. Don't cover that up with boasting and lying. Amen. Isn't that what we all do toward each other? People ask, you know, like when we went to the Fire in Our Bones conference, you know, we go to church and we're like, how are you doing? How are you doing? Oh, I'm fine. How are you? But really, are we really fine? You know, or are we lying to each other? Is there something that maybe we do need to talk to someone about? Maybe we do need someone to say, hey, or you need to admit to someone, I'm not really doing okay. I really need prayer, you know? So don't boast of yourself that you're okay. Don't lie to people. If there is something going on in your heart, we are to be, it says, Jesus said to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. That means we are to love each other, but at the same time, we're to be wise with how we handle each other. Amen. If we love each other through a critical and a judgmental attitude, that person, we're not going to help change each other, right? But if we love each other because the love of God is flowing through us, because we want to see each other do better, we want to see each other get better and be healed and be delivered, then that is through the love of God that comes through us. Amen. Maybe you've never experienced how powerful the love of God is. Maybe you hear people talk about it. And let me tell you, until you have an encounter with the Holy Spirit, everything that I said today, it's just going to sound like words on a page. Everything that we talk about here, it's just going to sound like just a lesson at school or just another conversation. It's not really going to impact your life. But when you have an encounter with the Holy Spirit, these words on this page, they affect every part of your life. These words on this page, you get so hungry for that all you want to hear is what God wants for your life. All you want to hear is, what God do you want to say to me? What are you speaking? So instead of you just speaking to Him all the time, it's Him speaking to you. Amen. Do you want to hear His voice today? Do you want Him to touch your heart? Do you want Him to change your life? Because He can. He can change anyone. Amen? All right, you can go ahead and stand and we'll pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I want to encourage you, if you need prayer, we are always here for you. Amen? And if we're not here, someone will be here to pray for you, right? Ask each other. You know, I know that the anointing of the Lord is upon and in each one of you because I've seen it. Amen. All right, let's pray. Whew, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you. We thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit. God, whatever jealousy or selfish ambition is in any of us, Lord, whatever pride, Father, where we have been too harsh or too severe with anyone, Lord Jesus, we ask you would forgive us, God. We thank you that you never leave us and you never forsake us, that even when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we do not fear. So, Lord Jesus, I pray for each and every one, each and every person, whatever fear is in their heart, I command it to leave in the name of Jesus. Whatever worry, whatever care, whatever doubt is in their heart, I command it to leave in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, strengthen the faith of each and every person in Jesus' name. Make whatever it is in their heart, whatever desire that is in their heart, make it possible and make it happen in Jesus' name. Where people think, it can never happen. It'll never happen. If that has been the thought in their hearts, Holy Spirit, show them it will happen. You will take care of them, Holy Spirit. You will meet their needs. You will deliver them. In Jesus' name, I pray a blessing upon each and every one of you. I pray that your bodies are healed by Jesus' stripes. In Jesus' name, amen.